Grab your note sheet. The big idea, write it in right off the bat. It's okay to not be okay. And now I know culturally that's not how it is. I mean, we always have to put our best stuff out there. You don't want anybody to see any of the secret stuff. Because in our culture, I mean, it's difficult to listen. People like to know the stuff about us that, you know, isn't perfect. And I get that in our culture. Even though we greet everybody the exact same week with, how you doing? You know, and we all say, I'm fine. Yeah, with a big smile on our face when we're not. We lie. You know, it's like, I'm fine. Because if you were to say to us, how you doing? And you said, you know what? Have you got about an hour? I'm really struggling. I need to talk about some secrets. You know, I mean, nobody does that. Because in our culture, it's like, put your best front. Like, everybody needs to see that stuff's going good with me. I'm perfect. Even in religion doesn't seem to help. You know, we're working hard here to have a culture where you can just be yourself and put your masks down. And yet, sometimes churches can be the last place that people feel like they can be themselves. It's almost like in religion, if my life isn't perfect, if my family doesn't seem perfect, you know, I always need to make it look like everything's great in my life in religion, because if it isn't, I give my religion a bad name, you know. And so everything needs to look great at church and take a load off. This is a church for everyone. I'm Robin, I'm the lead pastor. Anybody can come here. You can be economically rich or poor. You can be any color, any age grade, straight, gay, transgender, military, Democrat, Republican, libertarian. It doesn't matter. Everybody's welcome here. We're working hard for this to be a culture where you could be yourself. Be yourself. Because isn't it true, in our families, you look at your family tree, there's dysfunction in your family. Like, you know, we all have crazy in our family. Like, right, raise your hand if you can think of somebody crazy in your family. Yeah, if your hand's not up, it's you. You're the crazy one in your family. So we all got our stuff, right? We got all our stuff, and we don't want anybody to see it. Some of us have come from divorced families. Really super painful. Holidays coming up. It's like, where do I spend Thanksgiving? You know, I got three different families to try to go to. Some of us have had things happen to us. We've been abused verbally, physically. Some of us have been through financial things. Our families have been embarrassed because they haven't had the money for things that we needed. It was embarrassing. Some of us have had people be prejudiced against us for lots of different reasons. I mean, we come from things, and we have secrets in our lives. And how do we take our secrets to God? How do we start right there? Does Jesus even want any part of my stuff, my issues? And here's the great news. I want to read you something out of the Bible. It's okay not to be okay. Look what the Bible says. When the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" Can you imagine? The church is the hope of the world. Jesus said one time it would be a city on a hill, a light shining in the dark. And the religious leaders see the people and they call them scum. Jesus, why are you hanging out with that scum? How would you feel if you were there and you heard that said about you? He's trying to approach God with some of your stuff and the religious leaders. Why are you hanging out with such scum? Now, think it would have been like for them when Jesus responds. Why does he hang out with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them. He speaks to the people that said that. He told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. He was probably pointing at them, but those who know they are sinners. Boy, that's the good news. He says, I've come to be with all the people that have issues. I've come to be with all the people that got secrets. I've come to be with all the people that aren't perfect. I've come to be with all the people that have things going on in their life that they're trying to hide. I want to be with those people. I'm willing to be with those people. That's why we work hard to get the message out that the Bible says that God loves us completely on our worst day and our best day. And you can't earn God's love. I know we all fall into it. it's sort of natural to feel like God loves me more when I've been a good boy or you've been a good girl, and it's natural. But the truth is, God loves us on our worst day the same as he does on our best day. He's perfect. He loves us perfectly. You can't get God to love you anymore. He loves you completely. Absolutely. No matter what. So good news. Look what the Bible says. This is the best way to see it. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm like, get your act together and maybe I'll come down and help you. It's like, why, we were still in our stuff. It's okay to not be okay, but God loves us enough not to leave us there. And there's things I can do when I'm okay that cause me not to go to him. And that's what we're going to look at today. Number one, write in your notes. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to lie about it. We're working hard to have a place where people can come and spread the idea. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to lie about it. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, I've been in talks like this before. And as I'm listening to the talk, you know, we're going to talk about the secret stuff and the stuff that's not perfect. And as the talk develops, I think to myself, man, I wish my boss was here. He really needs to hear this. I wish my dad was here. Man, how I try to get him to come to East Lake. My dad needs to hear this stuff. My sister. You know how girls are. My sister. She needs to hear. Don't we do it, though? One of the ways we deflect it, it's a form of dishonesty, is I make it about the things in other people that aren't okay, so I don't have to look at my own. All the people that I know, you know, it's natural, it's like, you know, if only they. Who do you know that their life is miserable and it's because of everyone else? How many times do I go there? Stuff would be so much better if they would just. Look what the Bible says. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. Circle that. And not living in the truth. Fooling ourselves. You know what? That's the biblical word for denial. You can form a habit of always spinning it to be about other people. And you can get to the place where you're not even in touch with your own behavior. People try to tell you. You know, they try to reflect for you your own life, and you're so good at I'm so good at spinning it, at making it. Oh, yeah, but you. You can get into a high. You deny. Here's an acronym. Write this. It's acronym. Denial. Don't even notice I am lying. Denial. I spin it so much, I never look at it. And here's the biggest reason not to lie. Because the things I lie about are the very areas that God can't come into and heal. See, if I lie about it, then I don't need to go to him. If I lie about it and I don't have to face it, then it doesn't bother me enough to go to God and ask for his help. Lying becomes my provision instead of the Savior. That's the worst part about lying and being dishonest. Here's the culture we're trying to, and Jesus invites us into this. Two words, write in your notes. Admit and ask. That's our culture. That's what we're trying to live in. I can admit before you, God, because you love me. I'm not asking you to take your stuff before an angry God, a judgmental, punitive God. I'm asking you to go before Jesus that stood up to the religious leaders of his day and say, are you crazy? These are exactly the people I want to be with. When I can admit my stuff to him, when I can just admit it, I can just say, "Eh," that will motivate me to ask him for help. Now, if I lie, I'll never be healed. Because lying does not heal. T- Take it from a professional liar. I came from a huge background of lying. I patted myself on the back. I lied so well I had multiple choice lies I could choose from. Yeah? And I got out of so many things by lying. I patted myself on the back so many times because I had such a clever lie. And I was never healed. Nothing on the inside ever got well. Lying doesn't heal. Jesus does. If I'm willing to admit, I can ask. I can be healed. I can be restored. I can grow spiritually. And number two, write in your notes, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to justify it. Jesus knows how we operate, so here's what he said. Why then do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? He understands how we are with our stuff. The things in my life that I'm not okay with, at some point when I can't deny it anymore and the walls are caving in around me, the way I deal with it is I compare myself to others that are worse than me. And then I don't have to look at my stuff. Have you ever said any of these things or thought them in your mind? At least my temper is not as bad as my wife's. Woo, that girl. I mean, you should see her when she gets mad. I know I got problems, but what about Maria? She's a hot mess. She's way worse than me. I might get drunk a couple times a week. That guy, he drinks until he passes out. My boss has zero integrity. You should see him. So what if I fudge a few numbers? I'm not as bad as him. Sure, I smoke a little weed from time to time. But it's not like I'm shooting heroin. At least I pay some taxes. My brother hasn't paid taxes in years. Looking at pornography is better than having an affair on my wife. That lands, doesn't it? That almost seems smart, doesn't it? Like in our culture, that like you could fall into that. You could almost think, why is he bringing that one up? But is it true? Or is it justification? See, here's what happens. I don't have to forgive them. They haven't even apologized. I justify my behavior instead of being willing to look at it as a standalone action. And what is it causing? I justify it so I can feel better about myself. And I think I understand why, because there's this idea out there that if I'm going to walk with Jesus, I have to be perfect. That's who he wants to be with. He wants to be with perfect people. And let me tell you something. Christianity is not about perfection. It's about progress. There's only one perfect person. Because he was perfect, he could die on the cross and deal with our sins. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. You're never going to have a perfect day. Your kids aren't perfect. You weren't perfect when you were a kid. Your parents are never going to be perfect. But Jesus is. And he loves us perfectly. And because he does, we don't have to justify our behavior. Justification doesn't heal me. But Jesus can. Now, number three in your notes, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to do nothing about it. In the book of John, there's a story about a woman that was caught in adultery. And the religious leaders of the day brought her before Jesus. Now, to understand the context, you got to get this. In the time of Jesus, adultery was punishable. It was a capital offense, capital punishment. Like they executed people for committing adultery. And the way they did it is they stoned them. And I'm not talking about Colorado Stone. I'm talking about, like, they picked up the firing squad with rocks. And they bring this woman before Jesus, and the entire religious mob has rocks in their hands. They are ready. And they bring her before Jesus. And they say to Jesus, "We caught this woman in adultery. What do you think should happen to her, Jesus? What do you think we should do?" And Jesus looks at the woman, and he looks at the crowd, and he says, "The person without sin, get us started and throw the first stone." And it got very quiet. And then you could hear the stones start to drop. And then one by one, everybody walked away. And there's just the woman and the Savior. And she must have been dealing with some stuff because she looked at Jesus and she said, and Jesus looked at her and said, "Where are the people that have condemned you?" And she said, "They all left, Lord." And somehow there's just this tiny bit of trust missing. Because she looks at the Lord and says, "Are you going to condemn me?" How many times have you thought that? He has been kind-hearted to you. He's been there for you. And yet in the moment of truth, again, you're not quite sure about him. Jesus, what are you going to do to me? Don't we believe that we all have to go through the consequences first? Don't we train our kids when they make bad choices? "Mommy doesn't want to do this, but every choice has a consequence." I mean, don't we see the world that way? We see God that way. Yes, he's going to help me and love me, but before he does, I'm going to have to go through my consequences. Are you going to condemn me, Lord? And Jesus said, "No. That's the last thing on my mind." And then he says this amazing thing to her when you read it. He said, "Go and be different and sin no more." It's like he actually believes that when we have a moment like that with him, that it'll change us. He says, because of the way we've been with each other right now, you're going to be different next time. Now, in the story, he doesn't deliver the consequence. He first delivers the love. And if you're holding back from Jesus, even right now, something's happened in your life, some secret, and you're not okay with it, you're not proud of it, you wish you had not done it. But what's holding you back is, "Oh, man, I know that I'm going to have to go through a consequence. I know that I'm going to have to pay the price if I bring this out." Please hear this. This is God's heart. He loves us first. It's like somehow this woman leaves and she gets it. She goes, "Wow, for the rest of my life, he'll always say just the right thing at the right time. He'll always have a solution. I mean, look what just happened. My back was against the wall. They had me. I couldn't lie my way out of it. I couldn't justify my, they had me." And somehow, Jesus knew exactly what to do. And she goes forward believing that. Would you be willing to? Would you be willing to approach him today and just to say, "I've got my stuff, I have my secrets, I'm not perfect, but every time I get in the crosshairs of life, every time the world has got a rock and it's ready to pound me, every time I've done something, every time the moment of truth arrives, Jesus will be there, and somehow he'll say the right thing, somehow he'll do the right thing, somehow everything will be different. Because he's with me right then." Isn't it true that we're all the woman in the story at some point? It may not be adultery, but it's something. And we can't lie our way out of it. We can't justify our way out of it. They've got us, man. The rocks are in the air. It is like it is about to happen. Isn't it true we're all that woman at some point? And at that moment, Jesus will come through again and again. First comes the love, then comes the life. Now here's the bottom line. God loves us just as we are, but way too much to let us stay as we are. I know, you hear a talk like this, I do too, and you think, I've already tried a 12-step program. I've already gone to an inpatient program. I've tried to stop watching porn. I've gone so many times to them to try to talk it. I understand. I mean, it'd be very natural to say, great, this is awesome. I'm so glad to hear all this stuff. But I've tried. I can't do it. And I agree with you. You can't do it. We'll all be just like the woman. At some point, we just have to stand there and we either let Jesus or not. We either allow him to be our Savior or not. Wouldn't that have been odd in the story if Jesus started to talk and the woman said, whoa, hold on, Jesus. I got this. But how many times do we do it? Now, here's the promise. And so I am sure that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus. Gosh, how many things in my life would I just want to get to that point and go, it's done finally. Finished. That crap is finished in my life. Is that awesome? That's the Savior.